Good morning and welcome to the highlight. R-E-A-L. Real.
Good morning. Right now, I'm wearing a hat. Now, this may seem like not a big deal at all, but my ears grew significantly faster than the rest of my body. So when I was a kid, I was super insecure about my ears, so I never wore hats. On top of that, I had this weird, still have, I mean, very, very thick Asian hair. And my dad wanted me to look like a well-put-together Jehovah's Witness boy. We would get haircuts, but I would go to a barber shop, but it was like an old 50s barber shop. I would go to this place called Ernie's. It doesn't sound very hip. And I would get these haircuts that were terrible. They had no idea how to cut thick Asian hair into a short haircut. So today, right, I have my hair trimmed on the sides pretty short because that's the way to do Asian hair. If you trim it really short on the sides, because it sticks straight out, you don't actually notice when it's really short on the sides. And I can leave it longer on top, but it still looks really put together and I look like like an awesome contributing member of society versus when I was in college, I just grew my hair out to shoulder length because I was rebellious and because I was out of that religion and now I can do whatever I want. But one thing that never quite came full circle was wearing hats. I mean, ever since I was a kid, it's so insecure about my ears. And today, I mean, my head grew, I grew significantly, and it wasn't actually a big thing, but I just still had this thing about hats. So today's episode, right, is called Just Get the Effin' Hat. I may change it. That's what I wanted to call it right now. And this all circles around me getting a hat. I'm going to channel Brigale, by the way. Don't worry. This isn't just going to be a 40-minute thing of me talking about a hat. But I want to lay some context here. And I feel, I mean, Brigale's going to speak into some other things. But this feels just related. This hat means so much to me. And it's such a little thing. But I think it's so often the little things that just feel outside of our realm of possibility that end up being the most meaningful. Like the fact that, I just took my hat off, the fact that I am wearing a hat, it's like I'm defying all the pieces of my identity that I held for so long. And granted, this is a tiny thing, but I just think it's such a huge metaphor. The fact that I believed to my core that I'm not a person who will ever wear hats. I just don't look good in hats. The fact that I got a hat because I tried it on and I was shocked. I was walking around the store. Miriam can attest to this. I was walking around the store saying, I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing, this is ridiculous. I don't wear hats. I'm wearing a hat. Why does this look good? And I think it's so often that we just accept things about ourselves when there are really amazing things waiting for us right on the horizon. And I think so often life presents us with things that just feel so outside of the realm of what we are capable of, like down to our core beliefs, what we are capable of. And sometimes that's something as silly as I don't wear hats, but other times it's something as substantial as I need to work my 9-to-5 job because I'm just not cut out for entrepreneurship when there's entrepreneurial opportunities sitting right there. Sometimes it's just taking the leap and doing something even when it doesn't quite make sense, even when it's scary. So I want to preface this chat with Brigale with this just fun, incredible thing in my world. It's such not a big deal at all, but it feels like such a huge thing that I got a hat and I'm wearing a hat. Well, I was wearing a hat 10 seconds ago. And that wasn't something I thought was possible. And I feel like as soon as I got the hat, there was like this inner swagger that woke up in me. This is so silly. There was this like inner swagger that woke up in me because I stepped into something that defied my identity that I really, really liked. And it pushed the edges of who I thought I was and what I thought I was capable enough that it was like I popped into this state where I felt unstoppable. And the second piece is actually significantly more, I guess, of a big deal, although they both feel big. I was talking to Miriam about how I love my eyes. But when I wear glasses, because I have a -375 prescription, which is, it's a pretty, not horrendous, but it's a very significant subscription, prescription, sorry. For those of you who wear glasses, you know what I'm talking about, or contacts. I think it might be a contact thing, but -375. That basically means that when I don't have my glasses on, I mean, I'm taking them off now. I'm taking off my hat and my glasses. I can't see very much. I mean, everything's substantially blurry. I was talking to Miriam, I don't know how it came up, but I was talking to Miriam about LASIK and how, I mean, man, it must have been ever since I was 16, I've wanted LASIK. And it's felt so far out of my realm of possibility. I just assumed that it was going to be thousands of dollars and that I needed to wait until I was older, right? There were all these reasons. But now, I mean, my prescription's pretty settled and it just still felt outside of my realm of possibility in so many ways. And I was talking to Miriam about it, and for some reason, it came up, and it felt closer this time, or it felt slightly more achievable. And she said, why don't we use some of the money from our mastermind and get you LASIK? Like, why don't we do this? It seems really important to you. And I thought about it, and it felt like such a, yeah, I mean, even thinking about it now, it feels like such a huge thing. Like it almost like makes my eyes well up with tears thinking about having perfect vision. I got glasses when I was in fifth grade and just felt so dorky. And I don't feel as sexy when I'm wearing glasses. So I end up asking my dad, hey, I'm curious, because this is a medical procedure, if our insurance would cover any of it, or if it would help take a percentage off. I expect to pay a good amount of cash for this. And he says, oh, we have a good amount of money in the account. Just find someone in our program and it'll pay for it entirely. And I went, what? What are you talking about? That's it. I couldn't accept it. Like it's even now, it feels so hard to accept this. This is maybe an hour ago. I said, well, I mean, I'd want to pay you or pay for something. And he said, well, I'm going to lose all of this money when I turn 65 in a couple of years. So, I mean, if we don't use this money for something, he's been encouraging me to go to the doctor and to use our plan because we have a good chunk of money in there. He said, if I don't use this within the next, I mean, year and a half, a little over a year and a half, then I'm going to lose this money because I'm going to have to switch over to like a senior citizen medical program. So like, please use it. It's our money. And I don't have the strongest relationship with my dad because he's still a Jehovah's Witness and he doesn't entirely know what I do. He knows that I'm kind of a spiritual teacher and he knows that I'm helping people and that I coach people, but he doesn't know the full extent of my work. And I think there are just aspects of my life that he doesn't quite understand or approve of from his worldview. So, I mean, it's so multi-layered. But I mean, within the course of a couple hours, I went from a man who wears glasses, who doesn't wear hats. This is so silly. A man who wears glasses and never, ever wears hats, to wearing a hat and going to schedule a LASIK appointment that's fully paid for by our medical plan. Oh. What's so present for me right now, sorry if I'm a little long-winded right now, it's so much for me to accept. More so the LASIK, I think, than the hat, although the hat really sent me for a whirlwind. I think it's just so often that we limit ourselves to a realm of possibility that makes sense and to a realm of possibility that is a natural progression of where we've been in life or our experiences or the things that we believe are possible. And when I was looking up LASIK providers that happened to be in our plan, I ended up finding, just kind of was going and I was like, hey, what feels the best? And just kind of checking in and kind of using my intuition. And I was like, oh, interesting. This one's like 2.2 miles away. Like I like the like 2.2. I don't know. It's ridiculous to think about things like that with numbers. But I found one and the reviews weren't that great. And then I clicked on one and literally, I have been outside of Starbucks, the same Starbucks that Miriam and I go to. There's a LASIK center directly next to the Starbucks that Miriam and I go to work on our mastermind, to work on our projects together. And I've stood and stared at their logo for no apparent reason, just stared at it. And I'm pretty positive that that will be the place that I'm going to get a LASIK eye procedure. The dots and all of the synchronicities, it's like everything is landing so quickly. And it's not about the hat and it's not about eyes. It's about my perceived limitations and it's about my perceived realm of possibility. And I feel more and more as I'm stepping into this soul aligned business and this mastermind with Miriam and stepping into a whole new level of service, I'm feeling how much further my capabilities go and how much more life wants to give me than I'm willing to receive. And the more that I feel into that, I'm recognizing very, very deeply that I just, like, if I want to create and live the life that I genuinely want to live, I have to be able to be willing to see outside of my perceived limitations. And today, that means sending a request for a consultation to a LASIK place, which 2 hours ago was so far outside of my own possibility, I thought it was going to be 3 or 5 years out, and wearing a hat. But this moment today, kind of here, it all coming together, me talking about this, sitting with this, this feels like I'm on the precipice of understanding that life is so much more than what I think I'm seeing. So thanks for just hearing a little bit about my life and about some of the silly things that are here that for me just carry so much meaning. You know, I think we all have our things. So my message to you before I bring Brigale through, before any of this, is just get the fucking hat. Like, if it looks good, if it fits, if it feels like you, get it. It does not matter whether you're the kind of person who wears a hat. When opportunities present themselves that are so aligned with who we are, who we're becoming, find out a way to say yes to that. Even if that means deep internal renegotiation of our identity, of everything we think we're capable of. Because it's not about the hat. It's about what the hat represents. And it's about the next iterations of ourselves that are waiting to drop in moment by moment. And when we're willing to say yes to that, that's when life becomes everything we've always wanted it to be. So now I'm a hat wearing, soon to be perfect eyed man who's about to channel Brigale for you. So again, thank you for listening to a little bit of my rant in my life. It just feels like such a big, significant thing that I just can't help but share today. And I'm sure Brigale will find a way to just tie it all together and tie it all through. For those of you who it's your first time here, I channel a being named Brigale. And that means is I basically make contact with a non-local intelligence with kind of through the sea of consciousness that we all are, outside of this physical realm, through a soul architecture, and allow this being's consciousness to link with my neural circuitry. And through this mesh, through this web, through this interlocking, I'm able to bring through thoughts and ideas and feelings and energetics that are uniquely distinct to this being and that are just so different than the way that I normally think. So I'm about to bring through Brigale. For those of you who are here and have been following for a while, this is nothing new. But for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, just want to lay a bit of context, I'm going to drop into meditation. It's going to cut. You're not going to hear me drop into meditation and breathing deeply for about a minute. But then we're going to dive in and bring through Brigale, and we'll tie all this together and come through with what he wants to bring through today too. All right, let's do this thing. All right. Hello. It's a pleasure, as always, to be here in this capacity, transmitting here in this co-creation with David. Thank you for being here, for exploring these phenomena. I'd like to really just pick up where David left off. Just get the hat. We love this metaphor, and we love what it points to. In many ways, this is a part of a much larger orchestration here on David's behalf and by his feeling and being willing to tune into what's present. Him saying yes to the hat was him saying yes to so much more. Now, in many ways, this seems really silly. But through the lens of an individual who has many perceived limitations, specifically around clothing or who he perceives himself to be, to then go into a store and not only refresh some pieces of his wardrobe, he also got some new underwear, to step into something that felt very much so drawing, but was deeply confronting on a very, very core identity level, is a perfect metaphor for what's happening in his larger life currently. Moment by moment, David is saying yes to things that are deeply confronting to who he thinks he is or what he thinks he's capable of, but that are profoundly here and present. Continues to move forward into the co-creation of this mastermind with myself and with these intelligences that he's channeling, yes, but with Miriam and with the other individuals who are here to be in this mastermind. And as he says yes to this, all of the internal pieces that are in conflict with that arise, and that is the work. So what we'd like to do first is make a distinction between doing work for the sake of doing work and doing work that is profoundly here and present. Now, for an individual to dive into their own psychology and attempt to find things that are blind spots, in a way, this is not pointless, but very, very slow and largely impractical. The things that an individual's going to find are the things that are already nagging suspicions. And what ends up happening most of the time, through various personal development modalities, not all of them by any means, there are many, many modalities out there that are beautiful and wonderful and are very practical and work very efficiently. But for many, the work, quote unquote, that they end up doing on themselves is diving into a sea of insecurities. Now, while this is helpful, there's a much larger opportunity here always. This is an opportunity to step forward even before you think or they think that they're ready. What ends up happening for many individuals is they go into personal development or they go into some sort of developmental stage or process in order to specifically have a very, very distinct outcome. They want to make more money. So they go into an in-depth dissection of who they are and what they believe their money beliefs to be and what they believe their current budget and structures to be. And then they figure out how to optimize that. They figure out how to get rid of the internal blocks that are in between them and the money that they are looking for. Now, for an individual to instead just begin to build the things that they know that they would be building after they are that person is profoundly quicker and significantly more efficient than to try to do the work to prep for what's coming. This is the process of moving forward in life. It's saying yes to things that are within reach, that are possible here and now, even when your internal circuitry says that you're completely incapable of being that person. Now, when you go to move and do that thing, the internal conflict arises in a very present and substantial way. Dealing with that and being with that, understanding that as it arises, being willing to be with the self, whether that mean journaling or going for a 15-minute walk just to vent and to hear and to understand the internal circuitry, that work is profound and in many ways necessary. Because when you face yourself, when you're moving forward, the things that are arising are absolutely the thing that is in the way of you being that person that is on the other side, that is creating that thing fully and easily. So this distinction lies between doing work for the sake of work and doing work when it is arising because you are moving forward. If you are moving forward into something that's scary, something that's edgy, but that you know that ultimately you are capable of, and that is deeply close to your heart and deeply aligned with your soul. When you move forward into those things, the things that naturally emerge and arise internally, the conflicts, that is the work to do. And most often, those are very different than the things that you would be able to dive into if you were to take typical or kind of old school personal development strategies of just introspection for the sake of introspection, trying to find blind spots. Because in many ways, looking for those blind spots is the thing that's holding you back from taking that next action. The insecurity is the thing that's holding you back from taking the next action. But when you act first and allow the conflict to arise, that's when you know that that thing that's arising is genuine. And really, the way through that, this is really moving into a second piece of this. The way through that is to then look deeply internally, understand what's internal, but still continue to move forward and to choose forward. Still continue to choose yes to the thing that's aligned on a soul and heart level. Even when the emotional circuitry is firing, freaking out, when the evolutionary programming is firing, freaking out, saying that you're going to be ostracized by the tribe and that you'll be stranded and a saber-toothed tiger is going to come and kill you. Even when your cognitive structures are saying you're quite not ready and you need to instead go back and find other things to be able to prep, or you need to have more strategy sound, or you need to find more mentors to be able to help you through this because you're entirely incapable of moving forward at all. Even when yourself mentally and emotionally is deeply in conflict, when you continue to say yes to the things that are here, that is moving forward. And as you move forward and see your reality changing because you are saying yes, despite what your internal struggle may be, that is where your internal struggle resolves deeply, not just on an emotional passing burst of inspiration level, not just popping through and seeing the other side from a mental extrapolation of what's possible, or seeing through how my bullshit is here and available and it's all completely nonsense. Even with seeing that, the effects are substantially less than just moving forward and having the reality prove to you moment by moment that you are profoundly capable of the thing that you thought you were not. So for David today, it's something as simple as getting a hat, putting it on, and seeing that he is profoundly capable of being a hat wearer and all of the things that that affords him. Yes, this is simple and almost comical, but it is a very, very tangible example of this in a very simple way that's not confronting in any way for the large majority of individuals. This is a way to pull this concept out of the deep emotional struggle, because we can also give an example of this, that this is saying yes to starting that business, even when it does not make sense or when you don't think you're quite capable. It's the same thing. There's an identity conflict that says you are profoundly incapable of this because we haven't seen you do this before. Right, the body and the ego structure. Your body's programming has not seen this before. So me is the identity. I can't say that you're capable of this because you've never done it before. But your actual realm of possibility is O is significantly grander than anything that you can perceive through your current identity. Your next iteration of who you're becoming will always be bigger than what your identity currently can hold. Always, every single time. If you were continuing to move forward into your soul's path, if you were continuing to move forward into the things that challenge you, but that you know are ultimately here for your next step. This is what's profoundly confronting about saying yes to life on a very deep level. The opportunities are always here, always. You have opportunities here and now in this moment for you to step into this next iteration of your being. Maybe it is that next business product or project or offering. Maybe it is establishing an entirely new business structure. Maybe it is wearing a hat. Maybe it is moving. But whatever that next thing may be for you, or whatever that opportunity may be for you, when your identity is pulling back, it's so often extremely difficult to continue to say yes to that. For a wide multitude of reasons. This is evolutionarily programmed, yes. You're biologically hardwired to be in fear, yes. But you're also socially programmed, even here, outside of what the biology says, to do certain things because that is the way that you do it, absolutely. There are very fixed ideas of what's possible for a human being. Let alone your own individual insecurities from experiences scattered throughout your own individual life for what you were capable or incapable of doing. Past failures or past perceived failures. Extrapolated out into a piece of your identity that says, I am not the kind of person that can do that. I'm not the kind of person that can wear the hat. I'm not the kind of person that can build that business or sustain that business or step into that business. I'm not the type of person that can help people on a profound scale. I'm not the type of person who's smart enough to be able to do the thing that I feel calling me deeply every single day. And that is why I continue to say no to it every single day, because I know that I'm incapable. Those stories are absolute fabrications, lies, and mistruths. Because as simple and as comical as it may be to imagine that David perceived himself to be an individual who couldn't wear a hat, there are countless hats that all individuals in your collective have been unwilling to put on. So we ask you deeply here and now, what hat are you unwilling to put on that would profoundly alter the course of your life? What are you unwilling to do, even though it's right here, present, available for you now? When you recognize that your identity has nothing to do with what you're capable of, but is rather just a trend analysis of what you've been in the past, when you recognize that you will have emotional fears, that you will have cognitive tension and dissonance, that your identity will pull back on you, that your evolutionary hardware will pull back on you, when you recognize that all of these quote-unquote limitations or all of these roadblocks are absolute, you can transcend them. Saying yes to the opportunity that's here and available is as easy as saying yes to it. But once you do say yes, that's where the work begins. There's the tangible, physical work of you doing the thing and leaning in and making it happen and being open to opportunities that allow that to happen with a great amount of ease. Being open to synchronistic events, circumstances that give you a very unique opportunity and opening to step into this thing that you've been wanting to do for a significant amount of time. When the opportunity presents itself and you say yes, the work begins. But when you're willing to continue to do that work, continue to build awareness around what is internal so that you can transcend it and continue to say yes, even when it is here, that's when you begin to create outside of your realm of possibility, outside of your perceived limitations. And when you can create from that place of truly, genuinely what's here for you, then you're no longer tethered to your evolutionary programming. You're no longer tethered to your limitations of your identity structure currently. You're no longer tethered to all the things that many individuals may tell you that you need to absolutely work through before you do the thing. It's fundamentally not true. You can be completely untethered from these things when you decide to do it and are willing to be with the tension internally. And that's what turns a very, very slow crawl into a run. Because you're no longer trudging through every single grain of mud, trying to sift through, looking for nothing. Instead, you're standing up, planting your feet, and running. And when you feel your lungs pushing back, or when you feel your limitations pushing back, if you're aware that you're going to be slightly more out of breath when you're running, if you're aware that your heart's going to be beating slightly faster when you're running, if you're aware that your brain's going to tell you that you can't go as far as you can actually go physically, when you're aware of these limitations, then you can transcend them and continue to run. So we really wanted to be able to use this experience of David's that's so simple and comical in so many ways, to be able to land a deeper idea of what it truly feels like to say yes to something. Of what it truly feels like to say yes to your soul, to listen to your heart, and to continue to move forward on your unique path here on this planet. Because when you say yes to this, everything else figures itself out. We've talked about this larger orchestration before, this larger clockwork-like orchestration of synchronicities and events that are constantly working in your favor. All of this opens with the yes. You don't need to be emotionally joyous and perfect and mentally perfectly clear and focused on your goals all the time. It's okay when things emerge and arise within you that are in conflict with what you want. That's normal. That is a piece of moving forward. That is a piece of life. The doubts, the fears, the insecurities will be there until you have accomplished your goal. And when you realize that, you can stop trying to eradicate them and start moving forward instead. all of the energy that many individuals in your collective are using currently to tear themselves apart so they can find the thing that's wrong, when that energy is instead applied to forward momentum, not only do those individuals move forward at a significantly quicker rate, but your collective moves forward at a significantly quicker rate. And when each of you continues to move forward in your own soul's path, you find the opportunities that may feel outside of your realm of possibility, but that are actually very, very present and coming for you, where you can have a profound impact on this planet and the overall trajectory of where planet Earth is heading. And when you recognize that internally you are capable of having an impact on a global scale for generations to come, making this Earth significantly more sustainable, more pleasant, more efficient, whatever your internal values may be under the good umbrella, when you recognize that you have the ability to be able to move forward not only your own life into all the things that you value, but to drive the entirety of the collective around you towards those values that are more pleasant, then you begin to do that too. This is why it's not just a hat. No matter how small these things that are here and that are present may seem in your life, the business may seem like not a big deal. Entering or leaving that relationship dynamic may not seem like a big deal. But when you recognize that it's all the same process of saying yes to your soul and saying no to all the internal conflict while building awareness around it, then you recognize that there are no small choices and that there's nothing too gargantuan for you to do. Because when you master the process of moving forward into your soul's path more and more, even with the little things, like expanding who you think you are, buying the hat, wearing the hat, then you build the muscle to be able to continue to say yes, even when that may be running for office. Even when that may be making the multi-million dollar deal that affects the geopolitical scale, at least on a moderate scale. You say yes to the big things as well. And that's why, no matter how insignificant this thing may be before you, no matter how comical it may seem to lean into these aspects that are calling to you, it's all a part of you becoming who you truly are, and it's all a part of the world becoming a significantly better place day by day, moment by moment. It's the process of saying yes to your soul. It's the process of saying yes to the lingering dreams that make the quality of your life and the lives of those around you better. It's saying yes. So thank you for being here with us as we connect some of the dots of David's story today into this larger metaphor for life. Thank you for being with us, even in the tension as the internal dreams and the hints of who you are meant to become and what your soul is calling you towards call forth loudly. Thank you for being with this internal tension here as your dreams call you forward. We ask that you continue to say yes to those things, trusting that all of the details, all of the hows will continue to work out. And trusting that this internal conflict that's here is in no way representative of what's possible. Is in no way representative of genuine reality. It's the trends. And what the trends don't see is exponential growth forward. What the trends don't see is the incredible synchronicity that's here and available for you. What the trends don't see and take into account are the wonderful individuals that are ready to step into your life to be able to help you at a moment's notice. What the trends don't see are the very things that are here, that are available, and that make your dreams possible. So please continue to say yes. Continue to lean into the discomfort. And trust that you have everything you need to continue moving forward. Not later, but now. Farewell for now. And we'll speak to you at a later time. It's funny. Thank you, Bergale. I could feel the magnitude of this silly little thing. And it feels good to be able to share these aspects of my life. The hat, the LASIK. Because I know it's not actually about these things. What's really, really here and what I'm deeply taking from this is that all of these things are just the rewards, are just byproducts of continuing to say yes to what's here. This is a byproduct of saying yes to the mastermind and having a greater level of abundance to where I'd even think about LASIK, to where I'd even think about going to get some new clothes just to explore, to switch out my underwear and get just matching across the board same underwear that's all awesome and soft that even led me near the hat section. I'm just continually surprised at the little things that trigger my internal insecurities or just wavering, you know, just the anxiety or the emotions, the conflict, just how little those things can be. And I'm just awestruck at how much all of those things work out, not by me journaling and coming to perfect resolution, but by me being willing to face them and just continuing to say yes anyway. It's such a fine line and such a very, very interesting distinction. But what I'm starting to realize more and more is that it takes significantly less internal work to move forward than I thought it did. And I don't need to feel ready to move forward. There's the deep knowing on a deep, deep soul level that I'm ready for everything that's coming. There's a deep knowing in the value that I have to offer to the world. But that doesn't mean that I don't have insecurities. It doesn't mean that I don't have these weird little things like, oh, the hats, you know. it's just all a part of this process. And at some point, despite all of the insecurities, despite all the inner conflict, there has to be a moment that we're just willing to say yes. There has to be a moment that we just move forward anyway, because that stuff just doesn't go away. But what does go away are the insecurities that are being directly conflicted by my reality. Like, I no longer think that I have gigantic ears anymore, because they're still larger than average, but I mean, they're proportional to my head. Like, that I didn't need to inner work that insecurity away, because reality proved me wrong. Like, I didn't need to completely do my inner work to believe that I was a more attractive man, because reality started to prove me wrong as I grew up. And I didn't need to inner work my way to believe that I was capable of building marketing pages and funnels and all the things. I just did them. And then once I saw them done, then I knew that I was capable of them. And I'm recognizing how much quicker life gets to be when we just say yes. And we move forward despite what our identity may say that we're capable of. And that's riding the edge of our fears. That's progress. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for exploring with me. Thanks for listening to so many hat references. Oh, goodness. And thanks for sticking through the full transmission with Brigiel. For being with all the energy. I'm putting my hat back on because it just feels good. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for subscribing, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.